Welcome to the LBM Journal Sales Podcast, hosted by Rick Davis, the premier sales trainer and consultant in the construction supply industry. In each episode, Rick and guests explore what it takes to genuinely succeed, not just in sales and business, but in life.
So I am here today with Eric Saxe. Eric is the Vice President of Sales for ACS, and this is a holding company that includes companies like Meeks Lumber, Breckenridge Lumber, Aero Building Supply up in Minnesota, and others. And Eric, thanks for taking the time to be here today, my brother. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Rick.
So let's begin with some of the easy questions. I'm going to lob some in. Describe your sales culture before you, when you were with Meeks. You know, it was a completely different company. It was privately held. Mr. Meeks was, you know, the founder, the great guy. What's changed in your sales culture for better or worse? What have you seen since you've been on board?
That's a great question. Just by way of a little background. So I spent, about 15 years with the Meek Lumber, family owned business right here in Springfield, Missouri, servicing custom home builders and remodelers all around Missouri and Arkansas. And, our sales culture at that time was, very service oriented, which was a great thing, still is today. But we didn't have a commission program, and our salespeople were really good at kind of settling into a standard book of business. And they really didn't go out and prospect a lot. They probably weren't extremely motivated to go out and grow their book of business. Along comes American Construction Source and was built on the Meeks platform. Meeks was the first acquisition, and I was here since day one, and it's been a fantastic ride. And I think, the culture today is, very opportunistic for the sales team that's out there. We have commission programs now, and folks are encouraged to really go out and prospect and grow their book of business and use the support that they have to figure out how to take better care of their customers while at the same time, continuing to add to that portfolio for themselves. I made a few notes before our call today, and one of the words I wrote down was collaborative. I think our sales culture today is extremely collaborative. We have a lot of platforms for open dialogue between, the outside sales folks and the inside sales folks and the support teams and the product specialists that are out there helping drive specific product categories. And it's really fun to listen to those guys work together and try to find solutions to be able to grow. That product specialist is all about driving windows. And so the outside sales guy wants to help him so he can help the outside sales guy. And they really kind of work as a team, feed off of each other. And it's exciting to watch that kind of thing develop.
Yeah, obviously I'm very intimate with your company, but what I really love, and I want you to speak more to this because collaborative is the great word. I think so often companies have this very top down, like the boss tells the salesperson what they're going to do and you report to me. But I really feel like at American Construction Source and all the companies across the board, it's more peer to peer rather than boss to performer. Would you agree with that? And so how do you think you've been able to make that happen?
Well, I do think that's right. So we have sales managers, right, that manage our sales teams across the platform. And what makes that work so very well is many of the sales managers are salespeople or were salespeople and really successful salespeople in their local markets. And so they really know what the outside sales team or the inside sales team is up against on a day-to-day basis, when they have, customer issues that need to be resolved or solutions that need to be found, they've done that, right? And so while they're the boss, they've also been in that guy's shoes and they really understand how it works and they know, how to bring the right resources to the table to be able to help that person be successful in whatever that venture is. And so, and we also do a lot of, technology-based stuff, Microsoft Teams, right, where folks can get in there and really kind of have dialogue together and, sharing information back and forth. And if they're having a market sales meeting, there's just a lot of really good dialogue back and forth between the guys, sharing win stories and how did you do that? And, Well, I've got one just like that that I'm working on. And how did you solve that? Right. And so they really do a good job of kind of sharing, you know, best practices and strategies across the different markets and even, you know, across the different divisions that we have.
I love what you just said about communication. And I've been privileged to be on those. What are you doing? Because you do this, such a marvelous job of this. What are you consciously doing to make those large group meetings so collaborative and so informational? How do you think you're making those so that instead of I really believe that your salespeople do not dread coming to them, but they look forward to them. Would you agree with that? And if so, how are you making that happen, brother?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the ways we do it is we like to share win stories. I think that's a fun way for people to celebrate a victory and puff their chest out a little bit, brag on themselves. And everybody likes to talk about a win. And so what we really try to do is get the dialogue going around that. That's a great win. Thanks for sharing it. Now, how did you do that so that others may replicate that same practice? Or what questions did you ask that customer that led you to that answer, that solution? And so when you make it, you know, when you make it not just a win, but how did you get the win? That allows everybody else to be involved in that conversation and share in that success and take notes and go back and you know, change their own strategies a little bit or ask similar questions to a similar customer and see that same kind of success.
DMSI provides a complete line of business software and mobile apps for LBM dealers. Their Agility ERP system manages every stage of order fulfillment, from online sales and accounting to inventory control and delivery. DMSI's Building Results CRM is designed specifically for the construction products industry. It helps sales teams grow their pipelines and achieve predictable future results. DMSI is an independent family-owned company known for strong customer partnerships and unparalleled service. Visit DMSI.com to learn more. I love it. I love it. I think we have to talk about the 2,400-pound gorilla in the room. Remember, it used to be an 1,800-pound gorilla. You know why it's 2,400 pounds now? Because of the triple prices of lumber these days?
Yeah.
This is what... Talk about this. Just talk about what you guys do to keep people informed, negotiations, what you're trying to do. What are your success stories right now with dealing with ungodly lumber fluctuations, product shortages, and the like? How are you guys doing this from a sales perspective and keeping your customers happy?
Well, yeah, I mean, we share a lot of information with our sales team. There's a lot of information out there to share. You know, a lot of the industry trades and you know, different resource groups that are out there that we can subscribe to, you know, they funnel a lot of data, right, to people like me to be able to kind of take and boil down into a simple story to share with the sales team. But, I think you're exactly right. There's a lot of confusion in the market about why is lumber triple the price? And then at the same time, why do so many people want to buy it right now at triple the price, right? So demand is still really strong despite the prices that, you know, a year ago we were sitting here watching the lumber market start to move and thinking, gosh, you know, it can't go to $600 a thousand. It can't go to $700 a thousand. And, you know, here we are well over $1,000 a thousand for basic framing lumber. And yet demand continues to be strong. And so, you know, we share a lot of information with our sales team about where the market is going, what kinds of things are affecting the supply chain that is causing this. We also share a lot of information about lead times with manufacturers. You know, lead times are the other big disruptor in the industry right now. And so, you know, we're constantly sharing that information to our sales team and asking them to share that back out to the customer group, you know, with their own personal message around it so that, you know, customers are informed, our sales team's informed. And ultimately, the whole point of that is to be able to come up with a solution that keeps that job running as fast as that builder needs it to and allows him to still be profitable.
Yeah, yeah. In an industry where I think everybody's freaking out and they're seeing pandemic news and shortages and lumber and they get all this heat from their builders, you seem to remain pretty optimistic and upbeat, like you see some sort of opportunities in all of this. Well, comment on that, my man, because I think that's a fair leading question for you. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, if you just look at the simple economics of you know, the whether you're looking at GDP or savings account balances across the United States, you know, average Americans, especially folks on what I would call above the median, you know, it's not higher income earners. It's folks above the median average income are actually better off today than they were pre-COVID. And a lot of that is due to government stimulus and things like that. But, you know, COVID really drove, I've heard several people say it sort of reset the build cycle. You know, we've been on this sort of 10-year, you know, 5% growth pattern, and over and over and over again, it was one of the longest recovery periods in history. And COVID sort of reset that. You know, people were starting to talk about, is it about to end? Are we going to have another recession and start the cycle over again? And I think COVID drove a whole new appreciation for the American home. And so people wanted to invest in that, and they were spending more time there. And there was a lot of pride around the American home. And so, you know, number one, you have a whole new appreciation for your personal space. And so what happened was everybody ran out and they bought up all of the existing home inventory, whether it's a used home or a new home. Those levels are at record lows. I mean, they're, you know, go jump on Zillow or Redfin and try to find a house in your neighborhood that's for sale. And if you find one, it won't be there tomorrow, right? So the real estate market is extremely robust right now. And builders are scrambling all across the country to try to fill that supply back up. And so, you know, sort of despite the price of materials and despite the supply chain challenges around lead times, you know, people are being very successful out in the field. Builders are being very successful. Remodelers are being very successful, you know, despite all these things. And so it's a great time to be in the industry. It's just, you know, it comes with some challenges.
You just are a wealth of information. It's the one thing that always impresses me about you. You're analytical, and you get a lot of data, and you share a lot of data. I know you're John Burns, I think, is one of your economic sources. Pat, who manages purchasing for the company, is constantly giving updates every couple of weeks as a management huddle with all your leaders. What have you learned personally out of all this? You just seem to keep evolving and growing. What do you think that you're gaining ever since this became Meeks and went to American Construction Source? It's got to have been a huge learning curve for you. What do you see in your career that's evolved, and where do you hope to take it?
Well, let me say it this way. There is a lot of data out there, and you can get overloaded with it. And I think the challenge is figuring out how to take all of that information and relay it back to the people that can react to it or that need it in a way that really kind of gives them good talking points, good thinking points as they go throughout their day. And so I think that's really sort of the future for folks like me that kind of grew up in the heart of the business, right? That cut their teeth just down in the field, you know, doing the day-to-day stuff. And then, You go to work for an organization like American Construction Source, and it brings a wealth of resources and information to you. And so being able to bridge the gap between, you know, the folks that are out there in the field still, you know, kind of working through that day-to-day operation, being able to take that sort of higher level thinking and bring it back home to them so that they can apply it in their own, you know, day-to-day operations, that's really the strength and the power of you know, big data and being able to dissect it and bring it back to something that's actionable.
Good. My question stands. What's happened to you, my friend? How have you changed and evolved personally, and what great feelings do you have about that, if any or none?
Well, I mean, look, you know, American Construction Source brought a ton of opportunity to a ton of people, myself included, right? And so, you know, having access to different resources and being challenged to think outside the box and you know, really kind of push yourself to go to the next level, you know, both professionally and well, professionally, right? That's the best way to say it. I mean, our engagement with Rick Davis has been, you know, very eye-opening for me and learned a lot of new things and ways to look at data, not only data, but to look at, you know, the daily actions of salespeople and really kind of what drives them. And so it's been, You know, I work with a lot of sales managers in our organization. And, you know, to be able to do that effectively, I really had to become a sales manager myself. And so you do that by really understanding, you know, what the data is, what the trends in the market are, how you take advantage of those trends in the market, and then how to read the activity in the field to know that, you know, we're really aligning the right activity to the right opportunity would be a great way to say that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in almost every one of these podcasts, I try to throw one of my own ideas out there. Now I'm going to do it. And I always try to do it relevant to our conversation. And I am a big fan of the concepts of two University of Minnesota theorists who said that the successful transfer of training occurs only after managers know what they're supposed to do with it. And their names were Mary Broad and John Newstrom. They wrote a book called Transfer of Training. And obviously, you've invested a lot into training. The other thing is, I think that training is half of the equation of change. And that's what I really want people to walk away from this conversation to hear about, because you have created real change. You've been a change artist for your organization, along with everybody. And I know you're humble and you don't want to take all the credit, because we got Sam and Seth and Tom and a whole host of managers like Daryl and others that have done such a great job. But I think that the training gives you the confidence and skills, but the managers have to monitor the performance. And what would you say has been the success story for you in instituting change with training and management coaching? What are you seeing there that you really feel has been the big catalyst?
Yeah, we've introduced a lot of new topics and strategies and management styles to our sales managers and different ways of thinking to our sales team, right? So a lot of things about prospecting and really kind of understanding what makes a builder successful and how they make money and you know, being able to help them do more of that is really the best way to help them be successful and to build stronger relationships and longer term relationships. And so, you know, one of the great things for me has been watching some very seasoned veterans out in the field, you know, get outside of their comfort zone a little bit, try a new thing. I've seen sales managers do it, you know, where we've coached salespeople on different strategies and conversations to have with customers to be able to understand how they work. And then you hear a story of a sales manager that, you know, went out and tried that on his own and was successful doing it and learned something new about a customer that, man, he had no idea. I've been doing business with this guy for 10 years and I just didn't know that about him. But I asked a few questions, you know, based on some of this coaching, and it really opened the door. And to see them share that with their own sales team, very humble, you know, and share that with their sales team and say, look, guys, if I can do it, you can do it. Right. Those are the great moments, you know, as you kind of build the team up and really kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah. I love that. You've got an abundance of stories of a guy tried something, then shared it with others and it worked for them. I have to ask this question. What is it about the leadership, the ownership, executives, the shareholders, the top levels of leadership that you think helps contribute to sales success for American Construction Source, if anything?
Oh, no, I definitely think there are several, right? Number one, you know, they hold all of us very accountable, right? For, you know, whether we're talking about annual budgets or sales goals or things like that, we're all, you know, held very accountable to, you know, to reaching those goals. But at the same time, you know, we have the freedom at the different market levels and different division levels to kind of do things in our own local ways, right? We're a melting pot of, I was looking at it a little bit earlier today. I think we have over 14 brands in American Construction Source today, and no two of those really operate exactly the same. You know, they all have a little different flavor, a little different customer focus, you know, all still, you know, going after that, you know, that core custom home builder, that pro remodeler, the regional production builder. That's our focus just about everywhere we are. But, you know, our leadership, you know, does a great job of supporting the efforts at the local markets, you know, holding them accountable to being able to hit the goals that we think we can hit, but also providing, you know, any and all resources that they need. You know, if the plan is well thought out and detailed and we've got you know, all of our ducks in a row, there's literally no limit to the resources that we'll provide any one of our markets to go out and be as successful as they can possibly be. And so it's a great environment to be in if you're aggressive and you want to go out and really kind of have a whole new career, right? This is a great place to be to do that.
Well, you know, I've been with a lot of companies and I don't know any other, maybe that do it as well, but know where I find the highest levels of leadership are engaged, observational about what is going on from a performance standpoint, supportive, complimentary. And I think that's a tribute because it's not always just pressure, pressure, pressure. But I think a lot of them have been very supportive as well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's all about having the right game plan. You know, we can have a different focus in a different market, or we can try a new product category that, you know, maybe wasn't successful on the West Coast, but, you know, we're going to go for it, you know, in the Midwest or in the mountain region of our company. And you know, just because it didn't work one place doesn't mean it can't work another place. And so I think there's a ton of support and there's a ton of sharing what maybe did or didn't work in another area of the country. And that's really what the leadership at ACS kind of brings to the table, is being able to say, yep, I hear that idea. We've done that before over here. Let's bring that group in and let's share what worked or what didn't work. And so we don't have to make the same mistake twice. And if we had a success, well, we already have a roadmap to be able to do that in another place. And so modify as you need, but this worked for another person. That's one of the great things about, you know, having such a diverse portfolio, both geographically, you know, the size and scale of the operations, the, you know, the customer bases, you know, having all that diversity really gives you a pretty wide range of what works and how it works.
Some 40 years ago, a cat by the name of Bill Walsh, who pioneered the West Coast offense, created a whole new approach to football and later wrote a book called The Score Takes Care of Itself. And basically what that means is if you stick to the play, you can't control the results on the scoreboard. And that's what I love about your leadership above you, alongside of you and your whole team. You guys really stick to a game plan and the results come. And I think that's a good lesson for anybody that, you know, you can't just send your team out there and say, go out, score the competition. But if you give them a game plan and you take responsibility for the scoreboard, you'll get the results you want. And my brother, you've done that. Pleasure chatting with you today. Thanks for being so generous with your comments and keep on doing what you're doing, man.
We will, Rick. Appreciate it.
I sure hope you're enjoying the content that we deliver in these LBM Journal podcasts. If you're liking them, then you'll like more information you can get at my online learning platform, Building Leaders 24/7, the sales learning platform exclusively designed for the construction products industry. There, you will find content for every member of your organization, how to build a better customer experience, how to communicate better with your internal customers and teammates. You'll see courses on selling effectively to builders and architects and the various audiences of our industry. Ultimately, it is a website and a platform that helps you increase the profitability for your company. And if you are an executive or a manager for that company, you will have the ability to assign courses and track progress of your members. So for more information on the state-of-the-art sales learning platform for our industry today, visit buildingleaders.com or just email me, rickdavis@buildingleaders.com. We're here to help and drive you to fearless sales leadership.